Our reporter John Cook is live in Tuam. And John, this is a very, very different visit to the last time we heard from Green Park Nursing Home on Drive Time.
Sadly, it is, Cormac. I visited the family-owned Green Park Nursing Home in Tuam just on December 7th last, as visiting restrictions were eased in care facilities right across Ireland. And you might recall on that date for a report for Drive Time, I met some lovely residents, their families and staff, some of whom I had kept in touch with since. So I was shocked to learn in recent days that the facility, which was COVID-free all last year, is now battling an overwhelming outbreak of COVID-19, and that some of those lovely residents I met have died in the past fortnight. Out of 49 residents at Green Park Nursing Home, 12 deaths have occurred, 4 in the past 24 hours. And when I arrived outside the home today, one blacked out car was leaving with a coffin in the back as another hearse arrived, Cormac. And I've never seen scenes like that in the nursing home today. It's what staff told me there too today. They're struggling to comprehend it. In this family-run facility, it's run by the McNamara family in Tuam. They set up this small nursing home in 1991. Son Brian is a qualified nurse. He's now the director of nursing, and he's battled COVID-19 himself in recent weeks during this outbreak, but is now back to work and was understandably emotional and exhausted when he described to me what's been happening.
We've been hit by a horrific tidal wave, is the best way I can describe it. A week before we were due to get our vaccine, our first resident started to test positive for COVID-19, and it's been absolutely horrendous since.
That's 3 weeks ago today. And since then, out of 49 residents, you've had 35 positive COVID cases. Half of your staff have gone out COVID positive, and you've had 12 deaths.
That's correct. Just in the last 24 hours, we've had 4 of those 12. And it's just been an absolute horrific 24 hours for us here in the nursing home.
I know, as I met you, the other person looking for directions is an undertaker with a coffin in the car, and you said that's an all too familiar sight here now.
Unfortunately, yeah. That's the second undertaker today, and there's two more to come. It's like you're fighting something you can't see, and it's just so heartbreaking. It just rips your soul clean out of you.
What do you think of the Gardaí being out patrolling the roads again, finding people for non-essential journeys?
It has to be done because people are not listening. That's why we're here in this situation again.
So your dad will appreciate the visit anyway?
Oh, he has. He's rang me about 7 times already today. When are you getting here? What time are you going to be here?
Can you tell me the purpose of your journey?
To Max's Zoo in Clonmel. I need to buy fish food.
You need to buy fish food. Okay. How many fish have you?
I have 5 tanks. Couldn't really tell you how many I actually have.
Can I ask you about what kind of fish have you got? Not goldfish.
No, it's not goldfish. Flowerhorn cichlids, severums, angelfish.
But it must be like 2 hours to drive out to Clonmel now to buy that fish food. Is it an essential journey?
Yeah. Like I said, I can't actually get it at work in the pet shop I work in, and the two in Limerick don't stock it.
Okay. Didn't think of the fish.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Perfect. Take care.
That is an essential journey for fish food there, no doubt about it. No threat of turning that driver back or a €100 fine, John.
Well, apparently it's as essential as your cat or dog or your horse, as was the case with some others I met today. The Gardaí in Limerick did give out 5 €100 fines to a group of young men travelling around the city last night because they offered no reason for being there. But it seems where reasonable excuses are given, the Gardaí are happy to accept them. What really did stand out for me today, Cormac, was the number of people travelling for COVID-19 tests. And there is specific Garda advice. You're not supposed to open your window at a checkpoint if that's the case. 12 motorists have given that reason for travel at this checkpoint in Limerick so far today. Most of them unaware of the advice, as you'll hear.
We're just after coming from the test centre.
The test centre?
Yeah. We just had a COVID test.
How many in the car have had a COVID test?
Just one.
Can you tell me the purpose of your journey this morning?
Yeah, we came here just for a COVID test.
Okay, so in the future, if you have another COVID test, if you just have the letter or show your phone up to the window, yeah, you don't have to open the window.
I feel like our family was coming back together. We, you know, it is a kind of a family environment in our bar. Having to tell your customers and 15 staff of this blow again this morning is. It's utterly devastating.
How are you doing?
Sean Doyle is my name.
Sean, you're enjoying maybe a last pint, is it?
Looks that way. And when we're leaving this evening, I'd say probably Happy Christmas to everyone because it may go on, I think.
You'll miss your friends here.
Absolutely, yeah, of course, yeah. Mm-hmm. Sure, I will, yeah. It was grand to come out there couple of weeks back and come down and have your 3 or 4 pints and relax and go home. And
there'll be quiet autumn nights in now. Do you have anyone at home, Sean?
Unfortunately not now, no. And my wife died last week.
Oh, I'm so sorry, Sean. I'm so sorry. That's very tough, so.
Yeah, it is, yeah, yeah.
Was your wife sick?
She was, yes.
Okay, I'm very sorry. What does it mean to you to get out and have a pint with your friends here, so?
God, it means an awful lot. It means an awful lot. But I have good friends and good neighbours and all that, you know. Oh, it's great to get out and socialise. Mm-hmm. Human being is a social animal.
Yeah. Telling people they can't do that now and having visitor restrictions in your house, that's going to be hard on a lot of people, is it?
Yeah, but as I said, rules are rules and what can you do? That's the problem all the way. Like, I've seen people there in streets from other counties here in Carrick on a Saturday night, etc., and as if it was a year ago, like, you know, hugging each other, loving each other, etc.
Some people weren't taking it seriously,
no,
so.
Not at all, no.
Do you think they will now?
I don't think they will either, no. I think a lot of these young people, and especially, they're actually nearly immune to it. It won't happen to us, but that's everyone thinks that way. But it does.
Students in Limerick feeling robbed of the college experience, but I must say that will probably leave some people flabbergasted. Did you meet many who've caught the virus in the area, John?
Quite a few people did tell me they've had the virus since Christmas. Now, some said they caught it when they went home and it wasn't in their shared houses near college. Most told me they've recovered well. Some told me they were symptom-free. And in one house, a student told me he is just getting out of isolation today after a positive diagnosis. Now, this was a house where there seemed to be a good bit of noise while I was outside talking to people. There was a group of lads and understandably perhaps having a great laugh at your man with the microphone. But some were happy to speak to me when I knocked on the door and I asked them if there was something like a party happening inside.
But we're not having a house party, we're just chilling out now. Like, this week's been quiet. Yeah.
So do you think it's okay to have a party in the house then, or a group of people over?
Obviously don't take out of hand, don't be having 50, 60, 70 people at your house party.
But are some of them that big?
I haven't seen any that big now myself here, but like, that's why people aren't taking out of hand. Like,
and
we're
what
not
would you do, or how many would you have in the house?
15? Yeah, like, if you want
15?
Good friends of you, like, you know, not overboard or anything, but you want about, yeah, 15, 20 people probably.
And you told me that you're just coming out of isolation. You tested positive? Or tell me what happened.
Well, yeah, I was just a close contact and I had to go and get a test. And obviously, I was positive as well. And then I just isolated then for my 10 days.
Okay, and you're just out of that now?
Yeah, just done now.
What about yourself, your housemate?
Yeah, I tested negative twice, so didn't get it. And I've been kind of isolating now, so. We know, we've seen the stats. Young people generally don't take this in this badly. I know there is the odd few occasions where you see young people do get hard, and I know that does happen, but on average, and I've seen a good few people around getting out, young people really don't get hit with it hard. And if you don't go back to your family, don't give it to your parents, don't give it to the rest of your family, I don't really see what's wrong with it, obviously.
So you think you're not worried about having COVID-19 as a student, just as long as you're not spreading it to someone else? Or?
For myself, no, personally. If it hits me hard and I die, well, it's a laugh on me then. Look, it is what it is.
But I hope that doesn't happen.
I know, but sure, look, that's my opinion. But I wouldn't want to transmit it to anyone else. That's just the way what do you expect college students just to stay in your house, just doing your college work alone with your housemates? I mean, it's not going to happen.
Did you ask him about going to Clifton to the Golf Society dinner?
Well, he said to me, was I going to Clifton? I said I wasn't going. And I did ask him, I said, about the meeting. He said the room has been divided. So I think, as I said, people going there, and I was speaking to a lot of other ex-colleagues of mine in the Senate that were going, and they said that they had been guaranteed that this was within government guidelines, that the room was going to be divided. I think a lot of people there went with the impression that this was okay and acceptable, because I do know of hotels in Kilkenny and all over the country that are catering for functions of over 100 people by dividing the room as they did in Clifton. Now, I wasn't there, so I don't know exactly what way that room was divided.
That was Phil Hogan's friend, the former Fine Gael Senator Pat O'Neill in Bennett's Bridge. John, what is the view on the streets in Kilkenny?
Yeah, Mary, Kilkenny's really busy today with lots of tourists passing through. Lots of locals I found did not want to comment about Phil Hogan. Others were more than happy to do it, and there was mixed opinion about it. Not as many supporters as you might expect in his native Kilkenny, and mixed views on what should happen next.
I don't think a whole lot of Phil Hogan.
I think he's a disgrace, and I would not accept his apology.
RTÉ Drive Time's reporter John Cook is in Castlereagh and he joins me from there now. And John, I know you've been speaking to locals in the town. What's their reaction?
Oh, they're really shocked and saddened at what happened here last night. This should be a normal Thursday in Castlereagh. It's Mart Day. You're meeting farmers trying to get in around the Garda cordons, and they're devastated to learn of what went on a very quiet junction of Main Street and Patrick Street shortly before midnight when Detective Garda Colm Harkin, aged just 49, it would appear, became involved in an altercation with someone he stopped to engage with on the street. His official firearm taken from him, it's reported, and a number of shots were fired, and sadly he died at the scene. Today people are really shocked and devastated to know this went on. Sadly, this is an area that will always be associated with the deaths of two Gardaí 40 years ago next month, when Garda John Morley and Henry Burns were shot following those involved in a bank robbery at Ballahadreen nearby in County Roscommon. 40 years on, they're seeing history repeat itself in the most devastating of ways, Sarah. But locals are keen to stress to me, this is not Castlereagh. This is a peaceful, quiet town. And they're really shocked and saddened to lose such a popular man of the community.
I believe someone is arrested. I don't know the details of that. But you would be hoping that a man going through the course of his job late at night would get justice, and justice will be seen to be done.
And John, you know the towns and villages of this county. You're a Roscommon man yourself, and you knew Garda Harkin.
Yes, Mary, I was on my way to what was already a devastating and tragic news story this morning when I got the call and heard the name Colm Harkin and realised I had met him and his family in the past as well. I grew up between two neighbouring towns here, Ballahadreen in County Roscommon, where Garda Colm Harkin was stationed until recently, and Charlestown in County Mayo, where he was from. And that's just half an hour's drive from Castlereagh, where he's been working through most of his career. I went to school with his brother. I can remember Colm Harkin giving us football training when I was a child, though he wasn't that much older than me himself. And I laughed when I heard that man in my audio clip earlier on there saying he was a decent guard. He never pulled me, because relatives and friends of mine had texted me today or called to say that he gave them a lift home from the pub last Christmas too, showing us a lighter side and the real community side and friendly side of Detective Garda Colm Harkin. So it's a really sad story for everyone who knew him, but I've met so many people who knew him today and all remembering him very fondly, just devastated by this tragedy.
John, I know in the last short while the remains of Detective Garda Harkin have been brought home to Charlestown amid quite emotional scenes.
It's hard to describe to you how emotional, Mary. Within the last 10 minutes I stood with hundreds of other locals from Charlestown and surrounding areas as they waited and watched and welcomed, sadly, the remains of their beloved Colm Harkin home. His remains came down the Knock Airport Road into Charlestown, past his family home and through the square in Charlestown as they passed through in a hearse, his coffin covered in the Charlestown Sarsfields green and white flag. This very much the first part of this difficult ceremony and ceremonies that will take place in the coming days. This evening, about his family being given back his body to prepare it for his funeral on Sunday. People applauded. There was loud applause as a Garda escort with flashing lights brought Garda Colm Harkin's remains through the town. And I think you'd have to be made of stone, Mary, not to be moved by seeing people hug their children in Charlestown Sarsfields GAA jerseys and try to control their own tears while applauding Colm Harkin and his family as they came through the town.
We're very thankful to the Gardaí in particular, the wonderful support they have shown to us, and also the GAA football, our own football club, and indeed football clubs all around us, and our own neighbours above all, who have been so wonderful to us.
How are you coping as a family? You must miss Colm terribly.
We miss Colm, we do, yeah, we do. He lived at home with me, and I'm going to miss him anyway, that's for sure. He was something special. That's all I say, and it has been brought home to us in the last few weeks. I never knew that what he was doing, or I never knew he had done so much for people until he has died.
It's nice to hear that, because I think the whole country and the wider community will not forget him.
It has been great support. Lovely.
Marty Harkin there, the father of murdered Detective Colm Harkin, talking to John.
So you got the jab?
Yeah.
Which one?
I didn't even ask.
The AstraZeneca.
And how do you feel about getting that?
Look, fine. Getting COVID is a bigger fear, I think, than taking the vaccine.
And after the year you've had, you wanted to know you're clear of COVID or safe?
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. It's been very tough. At night, and you can't... I have two kids in Dublin. I can't see them two pies. And I haven't seen the grandchildren. So we're afraid to come down and count the votes.
Have you been lonely?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I get fits of crying, like. You get depressed, there's no doubt.
It's very hard, isn't it?
Yeah, it is, it is.
And do you feel differently today, or does it offer you some hope?
I feel on top of the world today.
Great.
I feel as if all my worries are gone now today. Uh-huh.
The West County, would you have come here much over the years?
Yes. When I was young.
Dancing. Yeah.
Oh, my God. Weddings and functions mostly.
No drink.
Here I met my husband.
You met your husband here?
Yes, 43 years ago. It was the show dance. It was the show dancing in it. That's where I met him.
What was the song when you saw him across the room?
I don't know. I'd be telling you a lie. I had a few drinks taken. No, I had a few drinks taken.
So you didn't see him with your eyes?
No, I did not. We're still together, Anima.
Good luck trying to get an appointment, though, as the Irish Hairdressers Federation says the majority of salons are fully booked until Christmas, I'm sorry to say. Our reporter John Cook joins me now from our Limerick studio after a trip to a local stylist. I can't see you, John, but I'm sure you're looking well.
How did usual, yeah, Cormac, you know yourself. I don't think you or I need to worry too much about these appointments.
How did you get on, John?
And good luck making sense of some of my questions on hairstyling here and now. There was some hope if Sarah McInerney, yeah, maybe took this item
Thank
with us.
Thank you very much indeed for that slide, John.
Between yourself and myself, we'll do our best. And I did manage to get into the popular Cyril Morgan here on the Dock Road in Limerick, where Christmas music was playing loud, the sound of hairdryers was constant, and the many socially distanced customers I met looked very happy, even with masks on their faces. The first person I spoke to was Phil Downey, a hairstylist for over 30 years herself. 2020 has been the strangest, she said, and it has been tough being off so much during lockdowns.
With everybody, with kids and everything at home, and you're used to being in with people, it's a little bit isolating. And you know what, I suppose you get used to things all right, but you know, I just find it's, you miss that buzz, you miss being with people, you know, you really do. And you miss your friends and your colleagues, like, so.
What are you doing for Kathy today?
Well, with Kathy now, we actually did restyle it, so we did. She had quite a lot of hair after lockdown, so you know what, it was lovely. And she's loving her new style, aren't you, Kathy? Yeah, which is nice.
Kathy, how long since you've been to the hairdressers?
Well, unfortunately for me, it's been a long time because I've just got over heart surgery, so I couldn't get my hair cut in between the last lockdown. So I've only had my hair cut in July by Phil, who has been cutting my hair for 26 years.
And how are you doing now after all that?
I'm doing good. I've just come out of cocooning, and I'm lucky to have to get in the first day.
Well, you're looking lovely, and I'm glad to hear you're healthy as well. What does it mean to get back to the hairdressers and some kind of normal life now?
Oh, it's brilliant. It really cheers you up, and you know, I was looking forward to getting my hair cut, and I know I'm going to be in much better form because it's given me a real lift. I haven't really been out at all in the last 9 weeks, so this is just fantastic to get out today, and I'm going to be looking great now for Christmas. Not that I'm going anywhere.
The night ends with a big celebration on your dance floor here. What's the most played song at weddings at the Armada Hotel?
Probably have to be that that song from Dirty Dancing.
Now I had the time of my life.
We won't put you in the corner right now, so, but, right, so, I mean, paint the scene. You have a dance floor full. I'm sure you've got some Egypt down at his knees ready to pick up some girl he can't carry. But, I mean, it's not allowed. Is it not? No more dirty dancing 2 metres apart. I mean, it even goes as far as that, these guidelines.
Well, if it's his sister or part of his family unit, he can pick her up. The positive is that bands can happen, live music can happen, people can dance, people can have fun. You know, I think there's also going to be an element of people managing and being responsible for their own actions and their own behaviour.
So the guidelines suggest that your staff might have to be responsible for that. I mean, that's very awkward to tell people how to enjoy themselves. I have visions of you like a priest in a dance hall telling people to dance further apart.
Yeah, you know what, it's not something I can see myself or any of my team doing. I think that, you know, there is going to be an element of responsibility placed on the guests. The guidelines have that there. If it all comes down to it, well, then we might not have a choice. But I think they also say that this is a working document, and I think an element of reality around it is going to have to kick in. We would be really hopeful that the distance will be brought down to 1 metre between people. And I suppose, look, you know, people will need to choose who they dance with, okay. And I don't think we're going to get involved in that.
I wonder, will we hear shouts of no close dancing going around the function rooms of hotels? That was John Cook having the time of his life there at the Armada Hotel in Spanish Point.